Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whichever the case may be for all of you out there listening across the world. Welcome to Eye of the Seer on Blog Talk Radio, putting mystery back into your life. And I am your host, Brian Ouellette, coming to you live from Kennesaw, Georgia, on this October 21st, 2009. Tonight, we have a special guest, Deborah Davis, on the subject of Qigong. So stay tuned, we're going to learn all about this subject, and we're going to talk about what is Qi, a little bit about Chinese medicine. It's going to be a very, very interesting show, so we will get to that in just a moment. Stay tuned. Today has been a very, very hectic day, and it's actually been a very hectic week for us at Mind, Brain, Body. And it's come to my attention that for the last several months, the shows, the archives of the Mind, Brain, Body with the Doctor that airs on Friday mornings at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, about, I'd say, more than 80% of the archive was disconnected from our website because Motivox had changed the URLs. So that has to actually be inputted manually to get them back online. And there's at least, I think, 250 shows that need to be recalibrated so that the archive will work. So what I have done for all of you that are fans of that show use the archives, the on-demand episodes, what I have done is disconnected the entire, or I should say unpublished, all the shows that have the disconnected links. And I'm going to be putting one up one at a time. They are still accessible, though, and I wanted to bring this to everyone's attention so that everyone knows that you can still listen to all of the archive shows by going directly to the host page. So if you were to go to mindbrainbody.com, you can click on Mind, Brain, Body with the Doctor on the right-hand side of the screen. You'll see it's actually the first of the radio show selections. Click on that icon right there, and then you'll have two choices, Listen Now and View Host Page. Click on View Host Page, and from there, you can access all the archives. But unfortunately, you won't be able to do any searches for subjects from our website, which is what people really use the archives on our show for, until I get those back online. If you also were a fan of the Institute for Conscious Evolution and Human Development introductory lesson, if you've been utilizing those lessons or trying to utilize those lessons, they are back online. They were also disconnected with the switch over at Motivox. Nobody had told me about it. No one had told anyone of us about it. So we did not know that they were disconnected all this time, but we're going to be remedy the situation as soon as it is possible. It's just a lot of work and very time consuming, so please be patient with us. But at least you can still access those shows, and of course they're all on iTunes as well, I believe, as are all our shows. Every show that airs goes directly to iTunes, and you can access on demand there as well. That did not affect Eye of the Seer or Ordinary People. Our archives are fully accessible through the Mind, Brain, Body website. Okay, that's all I have for you tonight. Let's go right into tonight's subject matter. We're talking about Qigong, and some of you are familiar with this, some of you are not. I'm moderately familiar with it. I've never actually practiced it, but it's something that I think is very valuable and very useful. So we tonight have Deborah Davis, who is an acupuncturist, Qigong instructor, and medical intuitive. She's been involved in alternative medicine for more than 30 years, focusing on women's health. In 1990, she began studying medical Qigong under Dr. Wang, a Chinese surgeon, pathologist, and Buddhist Qigong master. A specialist in women's medical Qigong, Deborah is the author of Women's Qigong for Health and Longevity, a practical guide for women 40 and older. Her popular instructional DVD, The Spirit of Qigong, was named one of the top Qigong resources by Spirituality and Health magazine. Deborah teaches women's Qigong nationally, and you can actually access her website to contact her about her services at www.womensqigong.com, and that is spelled Q-I-G-O-N-G. That's Qigong. So it's womens, Qigong.com. It's also on our blog at www.mindbrainbodyblog.com. So with no further delay, let's welcome Deborah Davis to the show. Welcome.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for inviting me.
Oh, you are most welcome.
What? It sounds like a Mercury in retrograde week for you.
Yes, it is. It is. Well, you know, I almost have a constant Mercury retrograde going on in my job. So. But when it goes actually retrograde, then I really have problems. So.
Oh, sounds like you need some Qigong breathing to relax you.
I would love it. I would love it. I just never had a chance to take up the study.
Well, maybe I'll teach you tonight how to do it.
Sounds fantastic. Sounds fantastic. So why don't we start off by, let's just get into, I guess, the subject. Well, what is Qigong? And I think it might be helpful, since it relates so directly, so intimately with the subject of, or the Chinese understanding of Qi, perhaps we should first explain what Qi is and then go into how Qigong utilizes Qi and directs that energy.
Okay. Well, in Chinese, Qi means the animating force, the life force in all living things. So Qi is in humans, it's in plants, it's in animals. It's basically our life force energy. And Gong in Chinese means to work or to cultivate. So Qigong is literally the cultivation of your own internal life force energy through very gentle breathing exercises. And Qigong is, it's basically a mind-body exercise which has been used for over 2,000 years in China for health and longevity. And it's an entire system of self-healing which is incorporates gentle movement, very similar to Tai Chi, self-massage, dance, which we use for to gather strength and stamina, and also meditation. And basically, Qigong has three, it's comprised of three elements. So you have deep abdominal breathing, which we call Qigong breathing, a very slow, gentle movement, very similar to Tai Chi, if you've ever seen that. And the third is visualization or intention. So that's how it differs from, most people ask me, what's the difference between Tai Chi and Qigong? And Tai Chi is actually a martial art that is, although it's helpful for health and coordination and balance, and there have been some studies that say it lowers blood pressure, it's primarily a martial art, which is used for self-defense in China. But Qigong is specifically, you work with your breath. They're really breathing exercises where you can learn how to cultivate your own energy and then to direct it to different parts of your body for healing.
Okay. So, I mean, I've seen examples of it. I've seen, you know, people usually in groups, sometimes out in a field somewhere. You know, you see, I've even seen commercials that utilize it since it seems to be very popular and growing in popularity in recent years. What would you say that this is something that anybody from any walk of life can take up instantly, or is it something that needs some reflection and study beforehand?
No, you know, that's why I created my DVD, so people can, I sell it all around the world, and people that don't know anything about Qigong can learn from the DVD. And so it's very simple. And you just, you know, I've taught people that are bedridden. I used to work a lot with cancer patients and AIDS patients, and I taught them Qigong, and handicapped people, and people in their 90s. and triathletes. So anybody, all fitness levels, all ages can do Qigong. And it's a lot easier than yoga or Pilates. So I get a lot of people that come to me that have joint problems in middle age and they just can't do their yoga practice or their running or whatever it is because they have knee problems or back problems. So that's why Qigong is so great.
And you right, right.
From it right away. Did you ever see Bill Moyers, what was it called, Healing in the Mind in the 1990s?
Wonderful session.
I mean, the whole series that he did, Healing in the Mind, I think it was called.
Yes.
The first session was around about Chinese medicine, and they showed two Qigong masters, and one was a doctor who was working in China, and there was, I think it was the man had a brain tumor, and he was just, you know, applying his, kind of waving his hand over the patient, about a foot over him, and he was projecting his qi, which masters can do. They can actually project their qi and heal people. So that was an example of a Qigong master.
Very interesting.
Yeah. So Bill Moyers, and then there have been some PBS specials, too, about Qigong.
Now I've seen...
Yeah, it's becoming more popular now. People are finally learning about it and hearing about it in the U.S.
Right, right. I've seen examples of, I'm not sure if you would consider it a Qigong master. That's why I'm asking the question. But I've seen people that are very much familiar with the Eastern philosophical practices, very, very astute in these areas. And they've been able to, like, direct qi. I've seen videos where they claim they're directing qi and can actually light things on fire.
Yep.
and produce, I guess, so much heat through this direction that it actually starts to burn and then catch fire. Have you ever seen that? And is that related in any way to...
Qigong master. So there's an internal qigong and an external. The internal is what I teach, where you learn to use it for healing, you know, your own body or for other people. But when you get adept at it, you can learn to project it out your hand. So the qigong masters, you know, the Chinese are really into, like, superhuman feats, and they can light things on fire or what are other things? Just dissolving cancer tumors just by waving their hand. And
wow.
A lot of documentation on this.
Yeah.
The first Qigong master I ever saw was in the New York dojo back when I was in acupuncture school in New York. That was back in the late 80s, and I'd never heard of Qigong. And one of my martial arts friends said, here, you got to come see, meet this master. He's coming in from China. So I went down, and this old, hobbled old guy came out. He looked really old, and like a gust of wind could blow him over. He climbed us up about 2 feet from the wall. And he was 20 feet from us, and he put up his hand, and I just felt, it was amazing, he just put up his hand, and his palm was facing me, and he just had this intense gaze, and then I felt this wave of energy, it just hit me right in my chest, and threw me back. It was incredible, and then, so I flew back against the wall, and the next person flew back, we all went down like dominoes. So that was my first
experience. Wow. That is very, very interesting.
It was fascinating. And I was like, I want to learn that, you know. So that's how I met my Qigong master back when I moved to California the next year. I looked for a Qigong master, and one of my teachers in acupuncture school was a master. So that's who I've been working with since 1990.
So that's how you became, did you become interested through?
Seeing this old guy in New York.
Wow.
And experiencing it. And then I went to one show where this guy was a martial art, actually, and he was doing some show in Santa Barbara where I lived. And so I went on stage because he wanted some volunteers. And what he did is he had a CD seated on the stage, and then he put a wet towel down and then some aluminum foil, and then he projected his qi through my knee, and within seconds it was like it was burning, and people are jumping off the stage like frogs.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really incredible. And the most amazing thing he did, which I still can't believe, was that he did, it was called light qigong, where he put rice paper between two chairs, and then he stood on it, and this guy was like 250 pounds, and he didn't go through.
Oh my goodness.
he made his body so light. I'm not at that stage yet in my practice. Maybe another few lifetimes. But yes.
Do you think that's what it requires to get to that degree, or do you think?
Well, you know, practice. You really, as the I Ching says, perseverance furthers. You really need to practice. And my teacher was interesting. You know, he wouldn't take me on. I mean, I bugged him for a year before he even accepted me as a student and as apprentice. And I had to just stand in one stance, which we call hugging the tree, where you're squatting and you're like you're holding a big beach ball or hugging a tree in front of you. Not to be able to stand for half an hour before he'd accept me as his student. Yeah, it took me 4 months.
Wow.
Yeah. Then he saw that I was persistent and committed, and that's how I became his apprentice. But we ran a clinic together in Santa Barbara, and, you know, all those wonderful, miraculous feats are interesting, but the most amazing thing was to see people came in that were on their deathbeds with cancer. And a lot of people only had 2 months to live. And just by doing the simple Qigong exercises, not with even getting any energy projected into them, but just by doing the exercises, they healed and went into remission. So I saw a lot of miraculous healings through cancer and a lot of women with infertility and people with menopausal problems and musculoskeletal and Epstein-Barr syndrome was really big those days. It's like a chronic fatigue.
Mm-hmm.
And all types of things. And we got really people, you know, in the early 90s, acupuncture wasn't even accepted, so we got people we were the last, you know, stage of, they tried everything else before they came to us, so we were the last hope for them. And so it was fascinating to apprentice with my teacher and see all these healings. And so I've been working with it ever since with all types of patients.
Wow. So I guess that brings up a good point. How does this, and I know from personal experience, you know, I see here that you are an acupuncturist, and I had migraines, as many of my audience knows, for many, many, many years, to the point that they were, you know, so severe that they were landing me in the ER every now and then. Nothing was working. No medicine really helped. Finally, I just decided to try acupuncture.
Yeah, acupuncture works great.
And it did. It literally. I think I might have told this story before on the show, but I'll mention it again because it's just so applicable. I went to this very proficient acupuncturist who, you know, he virtually spoke no English. He understood English very well, but he was very difficult to understand. But I didn't really care because it was more important that he knew what my problem was. That's right. Yeah, just get rid of the pain, however it takes. You know, this is what I got. Can you help me? I went in, and he told me that it would take 6 or 7 sessions once every day. So I had to go consecutively for about almost a week, or a week, actually. And so, yeah. And so I went in, and the first time, I mean, you know, I had no idea what to expect. I knew it didn't hurt or anything, so I wasn't nervous about it. I was just really very much looking forward to getting rid of the pain. And if he felt he could help me, he seemed to be very enthusiastic about being able to do so. So I went in and lay down, and he came in and inserted, you know, I don't know, 20-something needles into key meridian points, and put me under this infrared lamp, I guess, or I just sat there for about 20 minutes, and it was the most peaceful, relaxing experience I've ever had. It almost put me into like a forced state of meditation. It was strange.
Well, it stimulates the endorphins.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, so it's very relaxing. You know, I think a lot of heroin addicts off of their drugs just because it is so relaxing, and it mimics almost the morphine effect.
Right. Well, I can see how that would work for drug addiction, because it was very almost euphoric. It was so relaxing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I sat down, and I'm laying down, I'm loving this, you know. And he comes in, takes him out. I didn't want it to end, but he came in, he took him out, and then I went home. And did this for about 5 days and felt absolutely, you know, no change as far as the headaches go. But when I would go for these treatments, there would be, like I said, this extreme relaxation. And so on the fifth day, I told him that, you know, well, he asked me how I was doing, and I said, well, I mean, I still have the pain. And he says, well, he says, you have two more sessions. And so I said, I'm going to keep coming, you know, and I went in for this second to the last session. And so this was session six, and the same process, everything happened all over again. And I went home, didn't feel any different. Until about 9 o'clock in the evening that night, I all of a sudden had this strange sensation in my forehead, and I can't really describe it. It was almost like a numbing, sort of almost internal tapping feeling, and then it just started to vibrate and get faster and faster and faster, and then I heard a gigantic pop, but from inside my head. And it literally was a pop.
Wow.
And I, at that point, became almost startled. And then I felt this rushing sort of almost feeling as if water was pouring down on the inside from the top of my head all the way down through my legs and I mean, just all the way through my body. And it lasted for a good 5 or 10 minutes, and it really scared me because it was just so startling and so unexpected. So eventually it stopped, and I calmed down, and I did not have a headache that night. And I went back to him for the last session. And I told him, I said, "Look, this thing happened last night," and I went into all the details, and he just completely brushed it off. He said, "Oh yeah, yeah," he says, "that means it's working." Yeah, he was really casual.
Typical Chinese.
Yeah.
Details, just.
That's right. I mean, it didn't faze him in the least that I was having this what I thought was this most profound, bizarre experience. He was perfectly just, oh yeah, that just means it's working, you know. And so I went in for the last session, and I can say that you know, I did not have a migraine again for about 10 years.
Oh, that's fabulous. Yeah.
And I'm probably due to go back because I've been getting, but you know, I've never had them to the extent that I was getting them in those days.
That's a great story.
Yeah.
And what my teacher said to me, Dr. Wong, was like, well, Deborah, you don't want people to have to come back to you all the time for acupuncture. You need to do some Qigong because then they can take care of themselves. So
let's talk about that. In fact, you know, one of the areas what we've talked about is just, you know, Western medicine versus the traditional Chinese views on health and wellness. And obviously in the West, it's all about pharmaceuticals.
It is.
And as I told you before, all these drugs they put me on for my migraines were making me, in some cases, feel worse than the migraine itself.
I didn't mean to interrupt, but those commercials, you know, that you see on TV at prime time about, you know, use this drug, and then they have that whole list of side effects.
Yeah, I know.
I always laugh. It's like you could die from the side effects, but still use the drug if you want to get rid of your allergies.
Yeah, right, right. They always end it with, and they cause death, you know.
Death, internal bleeding. But, you know, be good in bed or you won't have allergies or whatever. So.
Well, it just seems to me that Western medicine just likes to treat symptoms, whereas in my understanding, Chinese medicine tries to treat diseases.
It's a very different approach. You know, allopathic medicine is really great first aid medicine. Like if somebody severs their limb, I don't want them to come to me. I want them to go to the ER.
Right.
But basically, they focus on disease, symptoms, and external pathogens. And Western medicine really separates the body into specialties. Like if you have a heart problem, you go to a cardiologist. Or they don't treat the system as a whole. And in traditional Chinese medicine and Qigong, we view the whole body, mind, and spirit as a living being and treat the whole person. So everything is related. Even emotions are considered pathogens. and each organ is associated with positive and negative emotions. Like for your case, he was probably treating you for liver, what we call liver qi stagnation or liver rising up to your head, that which creates, it's like the liver heat. When you have too much stress, you can create heat in the body, which rises up to the head and can cause headaches and high blood pressure and all different things like that.
Right, right.
So for you, he was probably treating you with, you know, with points to soothe your liver. And actually, one of the points is of the internal meridians right at the vertex of the head. So that's probably something that you felt like popping and then just releasing all the stagnant energy.
Yes.
In Chinese medicine, we feel that where there's stagnant energy or too much energy or not enough energy, then that can cause pain or disease. So we look, you know, we look at the whole person. Like if somebody comes into me with PMS and tender breasts and irritability and migraines, you know, I diagnose her with stagnant liver qi. So all these symptoms are related. They're not treated separately.
Hmm.
So, and the other thing I think is important that in Qigong and Chinese medicine, it really honors the ability of the body to heal itself, which I think many Western doctors have forgotten, you know, the healing capacity of the body. And what Qigong does is really build your healing capacity and your reserves so you can heal yourself. So, you know, for example, now I'm telling my patients not to get the flu shot. I know that's very controversial, but, you know, I believe that if people have a strong immune system and they can prevent it by doing their Qigong, by taking herbs and having a good diet, that type of thing.
Right.
Yeah, so it's a different, you know, our medicine is really, allopathic medicine is really behind the times. We're in the
Japanese,
basically. I mean, Europe's a lot further ahead, Ayurvedic, Chinese medicine, you know, but they've been doing this for thousands of years. And it really works with preventive medicine. As a whole body, you know, well-being. And
right.
Not being until somebody gets sick.
Right, yeah.
So, it's a whole different way of looking at the body.
Oh, definitely. You know, and I think that's the most important point there that I find, you know, from personal experience, the one I just mentioned, which is not exactly Qigong, but it's all related, you know, to the whole flow of qi and being able to direct that energy, clear up and blockages and that type of thing. And you know, all these medications, you know, which were horrible, horrible things that they put me on, just terrible. Now I can treat a migraine when I get one. It's not very often, but when I do get one, I can treat one with about 400 milligrams of ibuprofen and it's gone. You know, I couldn't do that before.
The main point I can teach you right now, and it's called Hogu, and it's in between. You've probably seen it. A lot of people say it's in the web in between your thumb and your middle finger,
mm-hmm.
in your hand. So if you go in that web, and it's really, the specific point is on the second metacarpal, which is your second finger in the middle there.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the web, if you go underneath your second finger, there in that web and press, you might find a point that's a little tender. And that's the anesthesia point that they use for surgery in China, and it gets rid of pain in the whole body.
Really?
The head.
So right under the index finger, you're saying?
No, it's, yeah. And it's not under it, so it's in the web.
So it's in the web part of the where the thumb connects.
Yeah. Kind of
hard. Okay.
If you look it up, look up large intestine 4. You know, that's a wonderful thing about internet. Large intestine 4, and you'll find it.
Okay.
That would be a good point for you.
Okay. I will definitely do that because I would love to be able to take care of this without having to rely upon anything, and even over-the-counter medicine. We're going to take a little 4-minute break for a commercial, and we will be right back with more on Qigong with Deborah Davis. Stay tuned.
Mind, Brain, and Body provides an unusual opportunity for personal exploration of the fullness of your individual experience within the context of your unique world situation. Our presentations are objective and designed so to provide understandable information. We do our very best to be spontaneous and kind with each valued guest. The staff of Mind, Brain, and Body believe that free, open, and considerate discussions between individuals is necessary for acknowledging our genetic and evolutionary similarity. For each of us is like a single finger extending from the one hand of humanity, one hand working together for the good of all persons. We deplore greed, envy, hate, and war. For additional information about the geopolitical, individual, and spiritual activities of Mind, Brain, and Body and its sister organization, the Institute for Conscious Evolution and Human Development, visit our parent website, www.mindbrainbody.org. You'll come to learn just how important you really are in the conscious evolutionary future of our universe.
Hi, I'm Dennis Ouellette, your host for Ordinary People, a show about everyone, whether you or anyone believes it or not. It's a show about everything and a show about nothing. I bring up a topic and you can agree or disagree. Join me every Tuesday night at 11 p.m. Eastern Time here on Blog Talk Radio. Ordinary People is brought to you by MindBrainBody.com.
To perform at your maximum potential, you need to have all aspects of your life working properly. On Mind, Brain, and Body, Dr. Michael John Kell will bring you honest, open discussions concerning your physical, mental, and financial health. If you're ready to find purpose and meaning in your life, tune in to Mind, Brain, and Body every Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific. Mind, Brain, and Body on Voice America Health and Wellness, radio dedicated to your health, wealth, wisdom, and purpose.
Welcome back, everybody. I am with Deborah Davis, and we're talking about Qigong and what it can do for you. So please stay tuned, and we're going to start talking about some techniques and going into a little more of the details about this wonderful practice. Again, if you're interested in learning about more of the services that Deborah Davis provides, please go to www.womenqigong.com. Deborah, in your book on Qigong, it's a Woman's Qigong for Health and Longevity, a practical guide for women 40 and older. I'd like to talk a little bit about how does Qigong differ according to gender?
Okay. Well, basically, there's medical Qigong. Both men and women can do it, but I wanted to specialize in women because our bodies are much different than men.
Right.
And we have a different energy center. So the energy center that we usually use in the Qigong breathing is about an inch and a half below the belly button. But with women, it's probably right above the pubis and the pubic bone. And it's called the uterine palate. And this point is specifically, it helps for balancing the reproductive system. It helps to regulate the hormones. And when I teach it with women, most women go, oh, this feels, you know, because we're built to have babies. So most of our energy is down more towards our hips and our lower abdomen. So most
right.
people feel that, oh, this feels more grounding, more like my energy center. So it's a little lower than the regular Dantian. And so that's one difference. And also, most of the books are written by martial artists for men. And our, you know, as you know, women and men's bodies are just different, and we have a different energy flow, and also different concerns, especially as we age. And I wanted to write a book for women as they age, because a woman in her 40s needs a different workout plan than somebody in their 70s.
Right.
But I designed different Qigong protocols and routines for, like, women in her late 30s and 40s, which I call dynamic women. And then graceful passage is for a woman going through perimenopause. And that's kind of a nebulous time. That can be from a woman in her early 40s to somebody in their early 50s. And then the wise woman workout is for a woman from 50 to 65. And then the sage woman is for women 65 and older. Because in each age we have different, you know, a dynamic woman, the younger woman's thinking more about balancing her family, work, and personal life, and needs to nourish her reproductive system and blood and work with PMS and maintain her strength. While a woman in middle age, which is where I am in the wise woman time, is dealing with menopause and postmenopause and insomnia and building our reserves and kind of stimulating the hormones, while the older women are dealing more with their bone health and the heart and also balance and coordination. So there's different concerns that we have that, you know, men do have the concerns, but not as much as women, especially with, you know, osteoporosis and menopause, obviously. But
right, right.
No menopause. But, I'm sure there is, but I deal mostly with women in that aspect.
Okay. Now, you alluded to before at the first half of the show that there's all sorts of different techniques. What sort of techniques would you use? Well, we can talk about the different types of techniques. What kind of technique would you use for somebody who's in good health and just wants to maintain it? What kind of techniques would you use for somebody who is in ill health? And trying to get better, and then let's even go as far as to say somebody who may be bedridden, what would you do for someone like that?
Okay. Well, so those routines that I created for women in the different age brackets, those are for healthy women.
Okay.
And in my book I took the 8 most common imbalances that I see in my practice. So I created chapters around PMS, menopause, and perimenopause, depression, insomnia, breast health, cancer, all types of cancer, heart health and hypertension, osteoporosis, and sexual vitality. So, and in these, what I did, so a woman, even if you're sick or if you're healthy, basically what you want to do is a set of these very gentle exercises and then a stance, which helps to, the exercises help to move your chi. And the stances help to build your reserves and your potential capacity, and it builds your immune system. And then you have meditation. There's different meditations according to your, you know, different personality and whatever you're dealing with, as far as if you have cancer or if you have menopause or, you know, migraines, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also self-massage. Like I was teaching you that, you know, large intestine 4 point.
Mm-hmm.
I included that in my book because there's some important places that you can massage, and it helps to move the chi and eliminate pain and problems. So, but basically, breathing is one of the main things, and the breathing in Qigong is based on the, as I said, the the dantian, which is about an inch and a half below your belly button. And in qigong breathing, we breathe through the nose, and then, like when you're inhaling, you're expanding your belly out, and when you're exhaling, you're contracting your belly. So it's all done through the abdomen. And what this does is actually lowers your diaphragm and increases your lung capacity. And that's why I was saying just the dantian breathing would help you when you're going through so much stress. When I used to teach in L.A., people said, oh, just the breathing helps me, you know, with road rage.
Yeah.
So whether they're on the highway or if you're going through a lot of stress, you can just do that dantian breathing. It really helps to, it brings your focus down into your center of gravity, which is, you know, most of us Westerners are all our energies up in our head. And so this point is actually the center, the Taoists call it like the alchemical cauldron, where you bring in the female yin energies from the earth up your legs into the dantian, and you bring the male, the universal energies from the heavens down through the crown chakra down, and they kind of mix into, and they collect in your dantian. So it's not just a point right below your belly, it's actually like a big chi ball, a big energy ball that goes back to your kidneys and around your whole lower abdomen.
I see. How does it relate to like the chakra points and the Kundalini? Have you ever heard of Kundalini release?
Yeah, and well, it's different because Kundalini is usually going. I don't know that much about. I've had, you know, some Kundalini experiences, and it just kind of shoots right up the spine.
Mm-hmm.
And in Qigong, what we do is everything in Chinese medicine is in circles. So we actually circulate the energy through our body.
Ah.
Like going up what we call the microcosmic orbit, where you go up the spine and go up over the head and into the third eye and into the master glands like the pituitary, hypothalamus, and then going down the front of the body, and it goes and then down around. So it creates an orbit around the body.
I see.
Yeah, it works a little bit differently.
Yeah, definitely.
But, you know, I'll give you an example. One guy who came, I used to teach big classes in Santa Barbara, and I had one group there, it's 100 people there, so I couldn't do individual sessions for attention for people. But this one guy, it was a four-hour class, and he called me up about 2 months after the class, and he was out of shape. He was in his 60s, never exercised, but he'd been on asthma medications all of his life and inhalers and everything. And just by doing the lung healing sound, which I have on YouTube and on my website, and that's in my DVD, just by doing that one exercise, after 2 months, he was off all medication, and he didn't do anything else, just one exercise.
Wow.
Yeah, so it can be very powerful.
And yeah.
Yeah, and you don't have to be doing it. It's not like Tai Chi where you really have to be doing it perfectly. It's more just your intention of really quieting your mind and intending, like with the six healing sounds, which I have on my DVD. The six healing sounds are old Taoist exercises that have been used for over 2,000 years, and they help to detoxify and the organs, both physically and emotionally. So every organ, as I was saying, like the liver, which was we were talking about with your migraines, the liver has to do with anger and depression and frustration and being stressed out.
Yes.
So while you're exhaling, there's a certain sound that resonates with the liver organ and also the meridian, but mostly the organ. And so this will clean out, basically cleanse your liver and your body of all those emotions when you're doing the sound. So, and then you bring in the good quality of the liver would be when you're doing the six healing sound is when you're inhaling, you're breathing in flexibility and gentleness, and you're letting go of anger and depression. So,
right. So then really, I mean, is there any limitation to Qigong? Do you think there's anything that it's not capable of affecting, or is it really that pervasive?
I think it's that pervasive. You the one thing is you have to practice.
Yeah. Well, that's a good question. Well, what kind of commitment's involved in being able to really utilize this?
You know, you can do 15 minutes a day.
Oh.
Yeah. But if you have cancer or you're facing death, then you want to do 1 to 2 hours a day.
Huh.
In China, they actually have clinics that are just solely used Qigong for terminally ill patients. They don't use allopathic or herbs or acupuncture, anything else, just Qigong. And they have like 90-95% rate cure just by doing the Qigong, because the Chinese are so disciplined and they'll do it 5 hours a day. And so I've seen a number of people, as I said before, healing and going into remission from cancer when they're supposed to be dead in 2 months. And,
wow.
Yeah, I heard from one woman 15 years later, and she was still going strong.
Wow.
God, she sent her daughter to college, so it was really exciting. Yeah.
Right, right. Well, what do you think about, like,
so, yeah,
like...
You said, I want to go back for a minute, because you did say about bedridden. I used to a lot with people at their homes that had cancer and AIDS. And just by doing the Qigong in their bed, they really felt a difference. Just by doing the breathing. And there's actually in my book, I have a chapter on cancer. And a lot of people just don't have the energy. So there is one, it's called Sleeping Buddha, where you lie on your side and you do the Qigong breathing. And there's a way that you lie that I've shown in my book. And that will increase the immune system. So if you've had chemo or you're just really tired, you can still build up your qi and build up your energy and start to heal yourself lying in bed.
Wow. So when you're dealing with, let's say, some type of let's say somebody has a stroke, a massive stroke, mm-hmm. and they're somewhat debilitated, is there a way that this could be utilized for them to regain some functioning?
Yes, definitely. Actually, it's interesting because my Qigong master had a stroke. And,
oh, my.
Yeah, and a massive one. And so he was paralyzed on one side. And he just lay in bed, and he just started. He figured out this whole Qigong protocol and then taught me how to do it. By his own experience, and then he taught his doctors and the PTs and people that were working with him how to treat other people, and he was out within 2 months, which they said was amazing.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, and so you can just lie in bed and work with, you know, your intention as part of it, and just work with, you know, working with one finger and another finger, and, you know, working with your mouth and facial expression and things like that. So you just work with very minute movements, but that's how he regained his energy. Yeah.
Now, at the earlier part of the show, you mentioned that some of these masters can actually direct the energy into someone and heal another person.
Yeah.
Is that something that a person who suffers a massive stroke could go to a Qigong master and get that type of assistance if they're not finding that they're proficient at it themselves, or would they still need to do the work?
So I would do a Qigong master, and also I've worked, my first patient actually, when I got out of acupuncture school, was a stroke patient, and he was on tubes, you know, into his stomach because he couldn't swallow. And
yeah.
After 2 treatments, he could swallow again and was taken off all tubes.
Wow.
And there are specific scalp acupuncture points that are good for stroke. So as soon as somebody has a stroke, the sooner that they can get to acupuncture, the better.
Okay, yeah.
I would say do that first, and then when they're at home, you know, convalescing, then they can start doing the Qigong.
So then there would be a process of utilizing both techniques.
Yes, definitely, because Qigong is a part of Chinese medicine.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
And acupuncture, I've seen it work so many times, so well. But I had a stroke patient a couple of months ago, and she was in her mid-50s and didn't have any balance. So she couldn't walk around in a circle, and that's what I had her do, is walking like in a figure eight. And she couldn't do it at first. but then after a month or two, she regained her balance and coordination. And it really helped her because what it does is it balances the right and left brain.
Yes.
Yeah, so there's a lot of... The medical Qigong that I do is really based on Chinese medicine, so I don't just teach one form for everybody. I really, if somebody comes to me, I look at, I do a whole medical intake and then figure out what specifically is good for their constitution and their healing.
Have you ever done any research, or is there any research on, or maybe you have personal experience with this? I used to work many, many years ago, and what seems like another life now, with clients that suffered from extreme mental disorders, primarily schizophrenia and bipolar disorder and schizoaffective disorder. Have you heard of any research or had any experience with Qigong treating mental illness that is that severe successfully?
Well, we call it Shen disturbances, and in Chinese medicine, the heart and the mind and the consciousness, your spirituality, are all part of the same system, the heart system. And so I dealt with it with not so much with Qigong, but with acupuncture and with therapy. And it works really well because they're actually spirit points that you work with somebody. I had somebody that came in that was totally manic, and I put in these points, and then it brought her right back. You know, she thought she was an alien up on someplace else. And
yeah.
She's kind of bouncing around the room. And
yeah.
And put in the points, it just brought her right back down to her body.
Wow.
Down, yeah. So the Chinese do have a whole system of acupuncture for what we call Shen disturbances. So any type of mental, you know, mental imbalances, bipolar, schizophrenia, all types of things. So I haven't dealt with that with Qigong, but I have with acupuncture.
See, that's interesting because, you know, one of the things that why I left that field was because they were generally untreatable with the available services that we had. You could give them Haldol if they didn't... if they couldn't afford anything else, which because it was a very cheap drug, and that's usually, if they were on state assistance, that was usually what the state wanted to give them anyway, which resulted in tardive dyskinesia, where they lose complete control over their facial muscles, their tongue ends up hanging out of their mouth, and it's a permanent condition, there's permanent damage, they never regain control of those muscles. Obviously, that's not a pharmaceutical that I would want to be on. So I always advocated against my clients being on those drugs. Unfortunately, sometimes because a lot of this was state services, there was no control. And so it became very, not only depressing, but you just really felt like you weren't really accomplishing much. Then they had better drugs like Clozaril, which were very effective at reducing hallucinations delusions. But then that had a profoundly negative effect on the person's immune system so that they would have to go in every week to get a white blood cell count just to make sure that they weren't getting too low. Because really what the drug did is create almost a simulated AIDS. It just killed white blood cells, this drug. So it would have been nice if Western medicine had recognized that there were these alternatives that were not harmful at all, no real side effects that are available that could actually maybe help these patients regain some control over their life.
Well, hopefully that's what our system will go to. That's my dream, is to that we can really have complementary medicine. You know, in China they do... Like when somebody gets cancer, they'll get chemo and radiation, but they'll also get the herbs like astragalus and codenopsis, which is two tonic herbs I give my patients that even the National Cancer Institute has recognized is helpful for going through chemo and radiation because it helps the immune system and balances digestion, that type of thing. But they work with Qigong, herbs, acupuncture, and allopathic medicine all in one. In the hospitals, and I wish that we would get to that place. And also, you know, with mental disturbances, you really need psychotherapy or you know, some kind of support system and a lot of different factors.
Are there any groups advocating or trying to make this happen? Do you know of any organizations out there that are trying to get Western medicine to acknowledge and recognize the value of these Eastern techniques?
I think a lot of people are trying to do that now. You know, there's studies at Stanford and Harvard, and the East and West has really become, even Andrew Weil, and a lot of people are talking about it. But it is, and I think there's, and more in the communities is where it's going to happen.
Yeah.
That people get proactive and start to create these clinics and hospitals.
Right.
It's wonderful to have hospitals. Like they do in Europe or in China, different places.
Sure, sure. Do you know of any side effects? We're just talking about side effects of those drugs. Do you know of any side effects, any potential dangers or hazards involved in taking up Qigong, or is it completely 100% safe every time?
I think it's really safe. When I first got into it, I read how some people were, you know, doing Qigong in China way too much, and, you know, like hours and hours and hours a day, and they were flipping out, or they were, you know, basically they weren't grounding themselves. I've been doing it since 1990, and I haven't seen any side effects so far.
Wow. So it's very, very safe then, you'd say.
Yeah.
And, you mentioned, we only got about 3 minutes, but maybe we can quickly handle this question. We talked about how Qigong helps us with, you know, physical improvement and health and wellness. We talked about it, and also on the mental capacity. Let's just quickly, if we could, touch upon what type of spiritual benefits, perhaps psychic benefits, metaphysical benefits, or does it open us up to expanding consciousness? So we talk a lot about that at Mind, Brain, Body, conscious awareness and trying to improve and increase the state and quality of this. Would you see Qigong as being a viable option for this pursuit?
Oh, definitely. It's made me a lot more psychic. And I can now read energies like over the phone, which I couldn't do before, and just read people's energies. And see people's energies. So it really, you become very attuned to energy in your own body, but also other people, the environment. And also, since it is a body-mind practice, it is a spiritual practice for me. It's really, you know, when I'm doing my Qigong, I'm tuning into the universal energies, into my energies, into the divine, basically. And you really feel very peaceful. It's like acupuncture, you know, you feel very peaceful when you do the Qigong. You're very centered and grounded. And your mind is free of distraction. And you know, you feel at one with everything. Especially I practice out in a beautiful park, so I really feel at one.
Yeah. Sounds great. I mean, really, I'm going to have to take it up and really start to study it more closely, because just sounds like just a wonderful thing, and there's really no reason not to do it.
Yeah, for you, did I send you the DVD? I don't know if I did, but the wood element and the water element would be good for you on my DVD.
Excellent. I will look into that. I don't know if you might have sent it to Michael. I'm not sure. I'll ask him to see if he has it. If not, I'll let you know. Thank you so much, Deborah, for being with us, and I'd love to have you back on the show again. I'll have Tracy contact you and set something up for perhaps January. For everyone out there, I thank you for listening to the show. If you have any questions for Deborah, any you want to learn more about her services, what she does, remember, go to www.womensqigong.com. You can find all of Deborah's information there. And purchase her book, Woman's Qigong for Health and Longevity, A Practical Guide for Women 40 and Older. Links for this is on the show page for tonight, and also at mindbrainbodyblog.com. So, again, thank you, everyone, for spending the last hour with us. And we'll see you next week, where we're going to be talking about possession with Nita Hickok. Good night.